to blame if it's not the country that drives the drug trade and which profits its secret police or allows its secret police to profit from engaging in the drug trade. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And I believe I have a couple of people on the line. I'll just go to the next caller. That would be Francis. Hi, Francis.
Hi. I'm hoping these children have some kind of legal representation.
Well, the latest that I've heard is that they famously do not.
Okay, so who gets to make the statement that they, I mean, it should be obvious to any judge in the world that if all these children are here, there's a desperate situation going on in their country, and that should be enough right there to grant them some kind of asylum.
I think you're exactly right about that, but that, of course, is not what is happening. The judges and prosecutors are being very, shall we say, legalistic about this and pointing out that the law says that they must establish that they have a humanitarian crisis in their home country, which, of course, someone who doesn't even speak English and, of course, has no familiarity with the U.S. court system cannot do. And therefore, they're getting deported back in huge numbers, even though they will be facing the same desperate conditions that caused them to cross thousands of miles by themselves in the first place.
To me, there's no question that the desperate situation has already been established. But as far as these drug cartels go, I want somebody to, at some point, rather than just speaking to the drug cartels in Central America, speak to the ones here who are receiving the drugs and making the bank in this country. They never do. You know, who are those people?
Well, Citibank's part of it.
Somebody from Central America, but nobody here in the United States. No, there's no big head honcho gangster here in the United States making any kind of money off of these drugs.
That's good point.
A joke.
Good point.
Okay. Well, thank you, and I'll pray for these children, and I hope somebody has the decency in that legal system down there to realize that there's nothing left to prove. It's already been proven. But it's a very desperate situation for them, or they would not be here.
Well, that's my complaint, that they're not recognizing that, but perhaps if we raise enough of a stink, we can turn around the policy and get them out of those courts. Thanks for calling. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Death toll estimates from the war in El Salvador, this is in the 80s, were around 70,000. I think from my own research, that's a very low number. In Guatemala, they say 200,000, others say a million. And Engineer Rock just told me the name of the next caller, which is Machito. Hello, Machito.
Yes, hi. Well, the first thing when I was looking up some of the causes behind this mass on the U.S. border from Honduras, I came across an editorial in the March of 2010 Progressive by Matthew Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive, on Hillary Clinton's role as Secretary of State in backing the coup in Honduras.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that as someone who was writing for the weekly alternative press in the Bay Area during the Reagan-Bush years and the Bush-Quayle years, that when information about Washington's policies supporting the feudal lords of Central and South America would come up, that it would be more widespread, it would disseminate more to the general population, and the mainstream media would generally be somewhat embarrassed into having to acknowledge it, and street protests and organized activity in this country against Washington's policies was much more to the fore. Now, there's been a lot of social changes with social networks and all this new technology that is supposed to enhance communications between people, but the fact is that information about the effects of Washington's policies on the life that we see in America and the shrinking of the middle class here, while the middle class in many feudal countries south of our border, including Mexico, has grown, is not covered, and there's no organization or activism about it.
That's a good point, and I would like to interject here that we have seen from the recent news that Facebook is literally used as a control lever.
But you see, we can talk about control levers from above. I think we also need to talk about the death of curiosity from below, and that there was a young cadre coming up, whether they made it into college or not, they were coming up and getting information about the world, and at some point, that curiosity's gone away. You can talk to young people now.
Do you really think that's true? I mean, are you comparing with the 1980s, or are you talking about the 60s? Or
No. I hang out in the same cafes I hung out in the 80s, and you're not going to hear young people talking about anything except their own lives and the increased communication about what they're interested in. And what they're interested in, when they're interested in the effects of Washington's policies or the world around them, it is less about the substance of it and more about the, there are actually on our side, if I count myself a leftist, on our side, there are people that make very good business out of selling trendy topics.
Well, be that as it may, I would be interested to see some study on that. But, you know, within my, of course, I have to speak from within my own circles, and there's a certain degree of insularity about this. Coming here to KBOO, I find some of the most active and some of the most effective people here are more than a generation younger than me. So I think that there are people, there are young people, to say.
Could you do this,
so to
Teresa?
Say. Could I do what?
Could you do this? Could you call up the March of 2010 progressive editorial on Hillary Clinton? Read it on the air, because Hillary Clinton is now positioned as the alternative to the Republicans as a presidential candidate, and I would just like for people to understand where she's coming from.
Well, I don't know that I'll read that particular thing, but since you've mentioned it, hopefully some people will look it up. No harm done with that.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank
Number
you.
To call 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. The clock is showing 9:36 Pacific time. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Have you joined KBOO? Would you like to contribute? You can pull us up on the web at kboo.fm and thereby frightening the secret police agencies who realize that someone else is listening to KBOO. Oh my gosh, it's a contagion. And you can click the tip jar. And you can join us, and you can do that for just a few bucks, or you could be generous and give us hundreds of bucks at a time. I contribute $25 a month to KBOO. I'm very proud to do so. And number to call is 503-231-8187. Adele is next on the line.
Hello?
Hello, Adele.
Hi, Teresa. I just wanted to let you know an idea that came up when I was speaking to with a group of people last week about the issue of the children on the borders, and there was a woman there from Honduras who talked the reason that these children are coming is because since the military coup in 2009, which apparently we supported, we were, I think, out there on by ourselves supporting it.
You know, that would be Obama administration, so that means I misspoke earlier, and that would be Obama doing the coup if that was 2009, so I apologize for that.
The violence, she said, is unbelievable, and that when she goes back to visit family, which is not very often now, she said you can't, she's afraid to walk down the street, and you definitely don't want to walk down the street with a cell phone or you'll be arrested. And the other thing that was addressed were the children coming from El Salvador, where the children at the age of, say, 10 to 12 are not captured but induced into getting into gangs, and they go through this ritual, and the adults are trying to get them out of the country so they don't get into the gangs. And so we were talking that we thought a better way to try to get public support for these children is to change the way we talk about it and call them refugees, which is who they are, not immigrants. Some of them don't even have parents left in these countries. They have grandparents maybe sending them up, and if we talked about them as refugees, there would be more sympathy for them.
Right on.
And so yesterday I called Senator Merkley and Representative Blumenauer and basically said the same thing, that maybe if they could start talking about them like that, then we would get funding and help, and they wouldn't have to go through this stupid paperwork of trying to become a legal so-called immigrant.
People don't realize just how heavy the U.S. influence is in Central America. You were talking earlier about being arrested if you have a cell phone. Were you talking about Tegucigalpa?
I'm not sure where she was. She went to. She said she went home to visit family, and she didn't dare have her cell phone anywhere around when she was walking down the street.
Well, that's creepy.
And she was about. She got very emotional about what's happening in her country, and we. And of course, all of this is what I would call blowback from our policies in Central America. The horrible things we've done down there. You know, we complain about people coming up here. But we've made their lives so miserable down there, they have no other place to go.
If you look at a map or a satellite picture of Tegucigalpa, what you'll see is the largest by far element of that map is the U.S. military base. And so when we say that the U.S. military has everything to do with these policies, it's an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for your call. Number to call 503-231-8187. Military aid to Central America has sharply increased under the Obama administration, according to Javier Best, writing in Counterpunch. Under the pretext of the war on drugs, his administration has poured millions of dollars in U.S. arms into the region. Chief among these militarization programs are the Merida Initiative and the Central American Regional Security Initiative, known by its acronym CARSI. In 2012, U.S. arms sales to Guatemala, and a lot of these refugees are coming from Guatemala, by the way, totaled $21.3 million. Moreover, Guatemalan military officers have increasingly replaced the civilian leadership in neighboring Honduras has yet to recover from the U.S.-backed military coup. A wide range of scholars and journalists now concede that the 2009 coup accelerated Honduras' descent into chaos, triggering the mass migration Washington is working to reverse. Writing the New York Times, historian Dana Frank harshly condemned the takeover for plunging the country into a human rights and security abyss, which was in good part the State Department's making, end quote. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, and Jackson's on the air.
Yes, Teresa, you just brought up a very good point.
Go ahead.
And you brought up a very good point, and the last caller just hit the nail on the head. Our international policy, very interesting. I went to a family get together back east, and my second cousin was very proud of the fact that his daughter made captain. And I said, well, where'd you make captain at? In Honduras. And my head literally spun. And I said, well, what do you mean Honduras? Well, we have a military base in Honduras. I go, well, what are we doing with a military base in Honduras? He shook his shoulder. I thought I was pretty much, you know, a depth of what was going on around the world, but I got this information firsthand, and then you guys bring up this as far as, you know, our involvement down there.
Well, let's talk about that a little more. I mean, effectively, what the U.S. military base does in Honduras is to enforce a racist feudalism. It enforces the fincas. It enforces the gentleman I was talking about before and his private army and their death squads. And it is the terror that keeps the production of everything from oil to bananas cheap. And it's not for our benefit. It keeps it cheap so that it can be sold at a huge profit for people who are already rich.
Well, I was completely thrown aback that we actually have an operational military base down there. And with all of these children coming, going north, and we're talking about children, they're practically like canaries in the mine shaft. There's something really, really horrible going down there to such a point to where children have to go through these type of dangers to come to the very country that's most likely responsible for the despotism that's going on in their home countries already.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make here, that we can point to exactly who does it and how much money that they have gotten to do it and the historic basis that has brought this to this situation.
Well, I've heard some people say, well, we need to send some military troops down there to bring in some law and order so that this doesn't happen. And I'm saying, too late. We already have military troops down there. But I don't think we're adding any type of law and order down there either. So, I mean, I was going to say that a lot of this, a lot of our direct involvement, I mean, I literally had to look the Honduras base up on the internet because I did not believe my second cousin. I did not believe we had bases down there to that degree.
Oh, yeah, Tigus is a very famous base.
That goes to show you, I'm learning something new every day. So, yes, for all the callers and those who are informed and who talk about, you know, these children coming up here and how we're using this legalese to throw them back into that fire down there, what if we're directly responsible for all of this stuff? And thank you very much, and I'll take the rest off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Current statistics on unaccompanied youth, kids coming from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. Support the assessment that it's a human rights and security abyss. Between October 28 and September 29, the total number of child migrants stood at 19,000 and change. 5 years later, this figure is now 46,000, describing the region as a corridor of violence. The International Crisis Group observed the most dangerous areas in Central America are located along the border of Guatemala with Honduras. And this imperial assault is not with economic analogs. Converting Latin America into a workshop for U.S. industry has been a longstanding goal of U.S. policymakers. Justifying U.S. ambitions to dominate Cuba, Secretary of State John Quincy Adams described the island's people as little more than children. Cubans, forcibly disjoined from Spanish control, he argued, were incapable of self-support. Therefore, they had to submit to U.S. demands. Contemporary forms of this doctrine could be found in the expanding array of free trade agreements, all of which are designed to enrich U.S.-based corporations at the great expense of the poor. Citing a provision in the Central America Free Trade Agreement, the Obama administration turned to naked coercion by withholding $277 million in economic aid from El Salvador, tiny El Salvador, unless they abolished a government-run seed program designed to empower small farmers. How dare they empower small farmers? Fortunately, congressional pressure, spurred by a grassroots struggle to overturn the policy, forced the Obama administration to abandon this goal. Nevertheless, the mere attempt was a dramatic indication of where U.S. strategic interests lay. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And Harvey's coming to us through the patient and long-suffering work of the engineer who has to deal with the fact that he can tell me who's calling next and I'll promptly forget it. Hi, Harvey.
Yeah. Hello there. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi. Well, you know, we have to see the world in with different eyes now. Walt Disney said it's a small, there used to be a theme park, it's a small world after all. And if you go into space and look back, there are no borders. It's just one all seamless. It's either water or land.
I'm getting a message from Walt Disney now. It's, help, my head is frozen.
There you go. Well, you know, we're so busy playing the flag game. There's over 200 countries. I mean, there's just about 200, I think 198 countries. And everybody has a flag and everybody has an army and they'll die for their flag and their country, and we're missing the big picture. The big picture is that corporations are already multinational. They're everywhere. The world is surrounded by cell phones. There's more cell phones and tablets on the planet than there are people now, and we're into a new quantum reality. We're quantumly entangled. It's a quantangled world. We are one. And I think as long as we play the flag game, you know, we're always going to see people as the other. The other is the enemy, the one you want to kill, the one you want to get rid of. And I don't see the world anymore through my quantangled eyes.
All right, compassion through physics. I like it.
It's all one. It's all one now. We're hooked up on our communication level. Our corporations are all multinational. And I think that people should start thinking that we are one planet. I mean, it's nice to have flags, and it's nice to all stand up and say, "Oh, we're gonna." But the thing, you know, kill for my country. But the thing is, it's all one country. It's one landmass. And if you look back through history, those borders have changed thousands of times. In fact, I once saw a time-lapse film of borders changing, and you just see these lines dancing up and down all over the planet as time goes by. So, you know, this whole thing we're involved in here, and I'll die for my country, yeah, but how about the planet? I think it's time to be noble and think global and work from that position.
I like that. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Heidi's on the air.
Oh, hey, Teresa. I'm so glad you're doing the show. I actually have a couple of things that tie together really well and a couple of points that have been left out of, I think you do a brilliant job of talking about things people aren't talking about. But I want to mention two things that are completely tied together. NAFTA and the military-industrial security complex of G4S, which is tied to Israel and Mexico.
Okay.
So my first point is no one's talking about NAFTA. Basically, when NAFTA got put into effect, it reoriented the Mexican economy to fit the corporations based in the United States, which drove their wages down, completely gutted their environmental
and economic gains
that they'd made. Huh?
They couldn't sell their corn. The first thing that happened under NAFTA was that cheap U.S. corn flooded the market and destroyed the corn farmers.
Yeah, and it also, I've actually done a research paper on this not too long ago, tying these two things together with ways of immigration. It basically also dismantled historic concessions that Mexican peasants had that they were guaranteed on their communal farming lands. And so NAFTA is a huge reason why you've seen immigration waves rise since the enforcement of NAFTA. And people don't understand the whole maquiladoro communities down there and what United States corporations have done to the Mexican economy. And I think it's absolutely disgusting that Obama and other people are blaming poor children who have no choice, who care about their families and think that that's the way to help. So that's my first point. My second point is, and I'm sure you've probably heard of G4S, which is this huge multinational global security complex. They're the ones responsible, along with Elbit Systems, for building the illegal separation wall, if that's what we want to call it, in the occupied territories, as well as between the United States and Mexico. They're also in charge of these, I don't know if you call them holding places, like for immigrants here in the United States when ICE goes in and raids homes and puts them in detention centers. So I think that if we want to be looking at this in a really comprehensive way, we need to be talking about G4S because it's, and they're also tied into the prison military industrial complex.
Well,
so it's
that's a really good point, and I think it reflects the way that U.S. society operates by denying what's going on and putting the dirty work into little corners such as G-Force and Academy, formerly known as Blackwater.
Yep.
Get the dirty work done by whoever, whenever, wherever, so long as it's out of sight, and then we can claim that we have the moral high ground, and that conservatives and the reactionaries are now screaming that these people coming here are coming here for no reason and just want to take advantage of us.
Well, and to my last point, and then I'll get off there to not take up too much time, I think that actually speaks to my last point. And this is, people think that these actions being taken by Hamas are happening in the vacuum. The one thing I'd like to point out, I haven't seen this on any media, and I've done research projects on this, Hamas is about the only Palestinian representation that does not take kickbacks from the Israeli government. The PLO, Fatah, PA, all of those factions have taken a certain amount of money from Israel, which keeps them quiet and tame. And Hamas is demanding what the Palestinian civil society wants, which is also what BDS asks for. And so when people talk about it in these terrorist terms, the state of Israel is a terrorist state. If you look at their actions and how they blame Hamas for being a terrorist organization, they're doing the exact same thing. And the last point I think that everyone needs to start addressing is the fact that Palestinians have been living under occupation. You know that, and I know that, but it's as if that's not even a part of the conversation. And that, like, Palestinians are allowed to defend themselves. They live under occupation. And I'd like to know when any of those callers, anybody out there, would do if you lived under occupation and had to live under the constant threat of occupation, checkpoints, your children being pulled out of their beds in the middle of the night. There's 200 to 300 Palestinian children in Israeli jails, and now people are focusing attention because it took one child whose face was beyond recognition to actually get people's attention. So that's my rant. Sorry, there's so many things.
It's a good rant, and I appreciate you calling
in. Thank you.
Number to call 503-231-8187. Maybe this is where I should hop in and say, when she was describing the oppression that Palestinians face, I thought of the occupation and military subjugation of Black America under Jim Crow. What shall we do about the children who are targeted by military forces, beaten, shot, thrown into jails? I think it's good to have solidarity with people overseas, and I try to, and it's very important. But we need, before we can move in this country, we have to think about our own brothers and sisters. We have to acknowledge that we are part of this racist, militarized occupation that we call the white police forces. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Pam is on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
All bad news, it seems, but I would like to remind people of a quote that I've heard that seems very useful to me, and that is that few are guilty, but all are responsible. And also in reference to imagination, I think less sympathy and more empathy would be good for our imagination. So thank you. Thank you very much, Teresa.
Bye-bye. Makes sense to me. Number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Have you joined KBOO? Pull up KBOO.fm and click the tip jar. Drop a little dime on us, and Brian's on the air.
Oh, hi, Teresa. Just real quick, I try not to attack other KBOO listeners. But could you tell that ignoramus, Michael, or whatever his name is, I've worked and lived all over South America and seen the results of this. I've been threatened myself, and it's all in the name of corporate greed. Tell him to start at Guatemala in 1954 with the overthrow by the Dulleses of Jacopo Arbenz, and go almost every year since then, and there'll be some country overthrown and usurped in the name of a corporation, and I've been right there in the front of it. So tell them to get out a little more, okay? That's my bit. Bye.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Brian. Number to call, 503-231-8187. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Press Watch. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Let's see if we have someone else on the air waiting. I'll just check with the engineer now. And the answer is ambiguous at this point, so I want to pass on the latest from Reuters on the situation in Gaza. 77 Palestinians, most of them civilians, have been killed, according to Palestinian officials. Today, militants kept up rocket attacks on Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and other cities in warfare, showing no signs of ending soon. 8 Palestinian family members, including 5 children, who were killed in an early morning airstrike that destroyed at least 2 homes in Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. That was the soccer, the group watching the soccer game, I think. We have long days ahead, fighting ahead of us, said Israeli Defense Minister Moshe Yaalon on Thursday of the offensive, which began after the buildup of violence following the killing of 3 Jewish students last month and the murder of a Palestinian teen in a suspected revenge attack. Sirens sounded in and around Jerusalem in the evening, and residents ran for cover as a number of rockets were launched towards the Holy City. 2 were intercepted. Others fell on open ground. The remnants of 1 rocket fell on a building and small community in the hills near Jerusalem. And departing from that, just my comment so far, those rockets they're a great morale booster, and they don't seem to be much more damaging than fireworks. And number to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187. And Tony, you've got 30 seconds. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Well, first I'd like to say I'm very appreciative of the caller who spoke about our support of Israel and the suppression of the Palestinians. Maybe someday we'll be able to look at our relationship there in the same kind of approach that we look at what we're talking about, our support of the government in Honduras now and some of the other areas where we've been wrong.
Thank you very much for your call. You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for more of the incomparable Radio Zine with Air Cascadia coming up next. We are going out to you via 90.7 other frequencies elsewhere and via the World Wide Web to all the ships at sea.
Yes, good morning. You are listening to the Mighty Boo, KBOO Portland, a couple minutes before 10 o'clock. We're about 15 minutes away from flashpoints. Today, an extended report from the Gaza Strip, where Israel launched a major military offensive, and a look at U.S. policy toward Honduras that has caused so many children to head north toward the U.S. At 11 o'clock today on Between the Covers, host Leanne Krantz welcomes local author Polly Dugan to talk about her debut short story collection, So Much a Part of You. And at 11:30 on Words and Pictures, today featuring stand-up economist Joram Bauman, who's co-authored the new book, The Cartoon Introduction to Climate Change, and will join Gus Frederick of the Homer Davenport Project on a tour of Oregon cartoon history and a preview of an upcoming political art show in Silverton. That's all coming up, but first join us for Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary coming right up on KBOO. Thank you for listening to KBOO Community Radio, and thanks KBOO members for supporting us. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO Community Radio and the Clinton Street Theater proudly present Nightmares on Wax Live, playing at the Clinton Street Theater as a benefit for KBOO Thursday, July 10th at 7 p.m. Performance comes from a sold-out show at The Refuge in Portland on Thanksgiving evening 2013. If you are one of the lucky ones who made it in, there's a good chance you are on the video. If you missed the show that night, this is a rare peek into a high-energy performance from DJ Ease and the Nightmares on Wax old band. That's Nightmares on Wax live, playing at the Clinton Street Theater, July 10th at 7 p.m. Go to kboo.fm for more information.